This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits John, and to my right is Travis. And today, the question of the day is, are you an envious person?
Ouch.
Yes or no? Most people, I think, would say no to that question, where you're not an envious person, but I think it's partially how we define envy. We use the word jealous, and that seems to be a little bit more of a... it's okay to be a little bit jealous of something, but envy runs through the very veins of who we are. And so let's just take a moment and talk about the difference between jealousy and envy. They are very close in one sense. They kind of come from the same root, yet they're different in nature. So if we take a Ricky Springfield song, Jesse's Girl, and you kind of just unpack that. If you guys have never heard that song, it goes, Jesse is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine, but lately something has changed that ain't hard to define. Jesse's got himself a girl, and I want to make her mine. That's envy. So now, if you were Jesse and you were hearing this, you could be jealous of the girl you have and connecting with Ricky Springsteen.
Ricky Springsteen.
But the difference is, one is a level of protection. That's jealousy. So I have something, I'm going to protect that. And envy is, you have something and I want to take what you have, or I desire what you have, or think you had some advantage to get that. And so there's the differences in between those two words. But the very heart of envy is in every culture, every place that you kind of go or see or look at, there is this idea of envy. Envy is they say it's a green monster because it poisons you.
Yeah. I think that's a great distinguishment, because the jealousy slash envy thing we get confused on, you know, people say, oh, I wish all the time that I had something else. And that, you know, like, you're just, the response would be like, well, you're just jealous. You're just jealous that you don't have that. But there is that distinguishment of protection within the jealousy, and it's really just envy. And, you know, that makes me think of the passage. I think Paul wrote that to the church in Galatia about all these things of the flesh, and envy is one of those things that we don't pay a whole lot of mind to, really.
Yeah, so jealousy would be the prodigal son, that if you want to go biblical on it. Jealousy is the prodigal son. It is not the prodigal son. It's prodigal son comes home, and the brother's like, I ain't coming to that party.
Mm-mm. Yeah,
I gave you all my whole life, but he gets the fatted calf and the robe and the ring and all this stuff. That's jealousy.
So then the envy side of that is the prodigal that left, right? I want my share of the estate. He envied that, and he actually got it.
There you go.
And it didn't work out well.
You're defining these things right. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and there's also, I think, an aspect of this of what envy produces in us. You know, you talked about the green-eyed monster, right? Like, the things that envy produce are very bad for us, very negative. I mean, I've seen studies out there about envy's connection to depression and anxiety and things like that that are a big problem in our society, and produces hostility, resentment, anger, irritability, all kinds of things. It's not a thing to leave unchecked in our lives.
And it is a problem, though. I mean, yeah. I think there's been some articles that I've read on this, and just some personal interactions with people, we'll say, to protect those. But like the millennial group right now has a lot of those feelings that you just said that were the bad sides of envy, because they get out of school and they get into the workforce, and it's like, well, I want to have the big house, the nice car, and I want this big fancy title behind my name on my placard on my desk. And that's not the reality that they live in, that we live in. And so they have all these emotions, I don't know, what feelings and stuff of like, you know, I thought it was going to be better. Kind of that grass is always greener mentality. And it's an easy thing for it to just get in its roots in your heart and just eats you up.
Yeah, the green monster of envy, it pops its poison fangs into, I think, everywhere it can and anyone it can. You know, it's a friend enters the friend group and envy says, you're going to be replaced, right? Like, they're more charismatic than I am. a peer closes a business deal and receives a promotion, and you kind of go, I just did that, you know, 2 weeks ago. Why is he getting the promotion? Those types of thing. A gorgeous woman walks into the room or onto your computer screen, and Envy says that she should be yours. You know, we envy others' clothes, their cars, their popularity, their position, their friends, their marriage. You know, we wish we had someone else's looks, their hair, their mustache.
And beard.
Yeah, and beard. I mean, pastors deal with this, you know. Well, why is it our church not bigger? Why do they have so much money for ministry? Why can't we do some of the same things they're doing? You know, all of those questions, you know, those are all rooted in envy. I think our society at this point is in one of the most envious states possible because of social media.
Yep.
And social media, it just takes it to a different level. We're constantly in the game of who can promote themselves over someone else. And, you know, social media is all about, you know, me. So we're flooded with this constant desire for what others have, or the pursuit of getting others' attention. One of those two things are happening.
I mean, it used to be, you know, envying your neighbor. You know, and what they might have.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Keeping up with the Joneses. And now, like you said, we have this platform for, you know, envying people who, for and the other side of this too, people that we may never meet or see, but also we're often envying an image that is not always realistic, you know.
Well, it's like the old slideshows. You know, you know what I mean? Someone would go on vacation and you'd be like, oh my goodness, we got to go over and listen to Bert drone on about his great vacation. That didn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
It happens instantaneously in our culture now.
Yeah. Well, and it's got that facade component too. We talk about this with the youth here of like your identity. And with social media, you can create basically any kind of identity that you want to. And then you add in, you know, the filters, that's what they're called, right? So you can make yourself look different than you actually are. I just saw a thing where it compared some, I don't know what they were, influencers, I think they call them now, on like their YouTube channels. And like what they look like in real life, people were like, I wouldn't have recognized them walking down the street. But you can do that with your looks. You can do that with the stuff that you have, the trips that you go on, and all those things. You can paint this picture of something that you're really not. And then, you know, we're looking at it from the other side and like, I want that, but that's not actually the reality. It gets messy quick.
Yeah, and we have an age of equality, which encourages us to compare ourselves constantly. Well, why did they get that? You know, what advantage did they have? And I think that's part of the root. It's not always what they have, is how did they get that? Like, I think I make the same amount of money as that person. How do they have a new truck? You know, like what's going on here? You know, and I think there's a bunch of those things. Proverbs 14:30 says that a tranquil heart, or a heart that's at peace, is life for the body. And then it says, but envy is the rottenness to the bones. It rots the bones. And so there's all these warnings throughout the book of Proverbs on how it's going to rot your bones. And one of them, I think, that it keeps coming up in Proverbs is this idea of, I want their life. And what you're talking about, the influencer or whatever. And it's, you know, there's a passage that says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? And it's basically saying that, you know, wrath, it happens, and people are angry and they get it, but it stops. But envy keeps going. It's it's just this nonsensical way of kind of trying to deal with these things. And, you know, a hot temper is destructive for a short time, but this envy feeds this long bitterness, and it begins to rot. It begins to rot your bones. I think what's interesting in all of that is when we look at Facebook or we look at somebody else's new truck, we actually don't know how they got there.
Right.
That's part of the problem. We, you know, maybe they got an inheritance. Maybe they're shady as crud and did a shady business deal, and they got a big bonus from that. I don't know. Am I going to sell my integrity for a new truck? you don't know any of that context of those things. And so when you have this envy and you don't know where it's at, I think it blinds you to the reality of what you already have.
And that description of it being like rottenness to the bones, isn't bone cancer like one of the most painful forms of cancer that you can have? And one of the, I think it's one of the hardest treatable ones too. Is that, it's not leukemia, is it?
Well, I think they're connected. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah.
Bone cancer.
I know it's not a good thing when you get that. I mean, it affects a lot of things.
It affects your whole body. And so this idea of envy being this decay to our bones, like the ramifications of that affect your whole body. You know, I think we've all found ourselves in moments where we've like, I really wish I had that new truck. And you start to dream about it and winning the lottery or finding that, you know, that inheritance. If old Matilda, great aunt Matilda would just pass. And
well, we also look at like stars sometimes and usually our comparisons, and this is a little bit, but our comparisons, you know, a beggar doesn't compare himself to Bill Gates. Beggar compares himself to the more successful beggar, mm-hmm. right? But I think there is this sense of like with social influencers, they're nobody. And yet somehow they've gained this pop. Well, I'm going to be a social influencer.
You know, that's like a career path now for kids.
That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
But because they see this, but they don't know what, how did they get there? You take a childhood star. I don't think anybody, you guys have daughters, I don't, but I have sons. Mm-hmm. I would not want my son to marry Britney Spears or a Britney Spears alike. But she was a childhood star, everything mm-hmm. at her. And you think of one childhood star that isn't a knucklehead.
Yeah, there's silence.
You can't.
Right?
Yeah.
So what did they exchange for that? In the same way, you can make that smaller. What did they exchange for that? You see the person, you know, they're tan with the blue shirt, white shirt and blue shorts. They're on the beach, the big family vacation. And you're going, oh, man, that... But what did they exchange? Did they miss every one of their kids' basketball games? Mm-hmm. Did they, you know, there's lots of questions I have in that. And so it talks about this. It is going, hey, I want their life, but do you really? Is really, I think, a question you have to wrestle with.
Well, and I'm reminded of James. He writes about this idea of envy too, and talking about just some different sins, and like you harbor bitter envy is what I think he calls it in the passage, and then selfish ambition. Two go hand in hand. And he talks about like such wisdom of this does not come down from heaven. It's a worldly wisdom that I deserve or I want what everybody else has. And like you said, we don't know.
Or it's not fair.
It's not fair.
Which is what our society is just like screaming. Nothing's fair. Everything's, you know, I'm the victim in this thing. And so I think some of our envy comes out of our feelings that we're somehow a victim.
Well, and he says in that passage continuing on that you're just going to find disorder in every evil practice.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing good that comes out of that heart of envy and covetousness, if we want to throw the Bible word at it. Like it's that destruction to your bones. I mean, you're going to have those physical health issues that can come along with it. You have definitely spiritual health issues that come along with it.
Yeah, and the big 10 is the word covet. Mm-hmm. Covet, all it means is to desire. It's not wrong to desire things. But if you know in the 10 commandments, what does it say? Don't covet your neighbor's ox or wife.
Are those one in the same?
She's strong.
Well,
talking about the ox.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, another aspect of this too, you were getting to this a little bit earlier, Levi, that, you know, we run into people often who, you know, especially as being pastors, who will come to us and go, I just don't understand how God works because there's these bad people that I see in the world and they're getting good things. They seem to be doing better than me. What's the deal? Getting back to that justice idea. And the problem with that is, I mean, there's all kinds of examples of this in scripture. I'm thinking about, you know, some of the kings over the Israelites early on, King Saul being one of them, King David, you know, we often mistake God's patience for God's pleasure. Mm. Meaning we think because God's not striking these people down that he's somehow pleased with what they're doing or how they're living. Or we see those material things that they have as blessings that are coming directly from God. And I don't think it's that simple. And often what we're seeing is God's patience rather than his pleasure. And that's a tough one for us to balance.
Yeah. Solomon in the book of Proverbs talks over and over again about this idea of don't envy those who are wicked.
Yeah.
And I think it's in the fourth chapter where it talks about, he says, hey, you fear the Lord, which means respect or pay attention to him. And know, the next verse under there, it basically says, know that there is a future. Know there is a future. You're envying the spoils of this world in a way that you shouldn't be envying those things. And how did, again, it's the question of how did they get them? And his worry, if you look through Solomon, he's talking to his sons, and his worry is that they're going to look at these people who are evil, which brings a question up. Who is evil? You know, when we think of evil, we think of Hitler, mob guy sitting there with a nice cigar in an Italian restaurant. He's evil, right? Like, those are, that must be what Solomon talks about. But that's actually not what the Bible talks about.
It
talks about the righteousness that is passed to us through Christ. If you do not have the righteousness of Christ, that you've said yes to Jesus and what he's done for you on the cross, then what the Bible describes you as is evil or enemies of God. And so even though your neighbor who is nice and has a new boat and knew this and knew that, if he doesn't know Christ, basically Solomon says, hey, don't envy them. Don't envy them. That's not the right route. And so I think when we see those passages of evil men, we always go, Hitler always comes up, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Hitler's
right.
The easy one.
If you're better than Hitler, then you're good enough and you'll make it to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. It says that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are righteous. Only Christ is righteous. And we place our faith in him and his righteousness, the biblical word or the theological term, is imputed or given to us. And God no longer sees our ick. He sees Christ's beauty and glory in us.
Yeah. I mean, that leads me right to our definition of what blessings are, or what those rewards, for lack of a better word, are. They're different than what we want sometimes when we look at the world around us, the evil world around us, you know. And it makes me think of a thing that I've heard many times before, that, you know, God's economy is different than the world's economy. the spoils, of so to speak, of God's economy is different than the world's economy. And so when you bring up that proverb about not envying the evil, I just think, well, yeah, when we do that, it's because we're looking at the worldly things that they get from this versus what is the bigger picture that Scripture is telling us about.
You know, one of the things I was thinking about as we were kind of preparing for this is this idea of, well, how does envy play out in my life? And do you guys have any arch enemies, like just people that just have irked you in the past? Travis is looking at his list right now. Whoa, that's long.
It's buddy. On my quarterback wrist play calling thing.
In you're on Facebook and you see something explode in their life, and there's a little joy in your heart.
Yeah.
The Bible actually warns against that because there is something in your heart that is envious of that person. You're like, oh, I didn't like that person. That person did this or whatever. No, there's something, you thought they got an advantage or you thought they got something over you. And that's why there's this great dislike. But the Bible says this, do not gloat when your enemy falls, because they're your enemy, because they're your arch enemy, right? When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice, or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from them. You don't want that.
That's one of those verses I hear it go, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Well, I was reading a story, and it was talking about just how envy plays out. And it's a fake story. This guy's walking down the road, or he's walking down the beach, and he kicks this bottle. He picks it up and he rubs the sand off, and a genie comes out. And the genie says, I will give you one wish. One wish only. But if, when I grant you that wish, I will give the person that you envy the most, I will give a double portion. And so the guy looks and he thinks for a second and he says, well, I'll take one blind eye. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
But I think that's what envy does. It blinds us, no pun intended, to the reality of what we already have or what God is already giving us.
Well, that's what reminded me of Jesus speaking in Mark. He talked about envy and said, it's out of your heart that these evil things kind of flow. And that's like he talked about other things, deceit, evil desires, pride, all that stuff. And those are the things that defile us. Like envy is it's got a double-edged sword to it, right? It's not good for us to hate our brothers or sisters or look at people with envy, but it destroys us from the inside too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That idea of patience too, like in understanding those things, like as believers, we know like there's an eternity and a component to that in our life. And like the people that we might envy, we don't know, like the influencers and all their mm-hmm. cool stuff they got. You don't know if they've got God in their life. And for them, we talk about this at length sometimes here about like, this is close to heaven as they're ever going to be. And if it's just like being in debt up to their eyeballs and we don't know because they got the new boat, the new truck, all the stuff, it looks good, but it's only temporary.
I think that there's also this concept, like, what do we do with it at that point, you know?
Yeah.
Well, one is, no, you probably have it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And basically, the Bible says, confess it. No, you did it. It's there. But if you want to live in peace, you confess it and say, man, I've done it. I'm okay. I can move past this, mm-hmm. you know, The other one, I think, is the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians love. It says love is patient. And you've probably heard this in a wedding or something. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Francis Schaeffer, one of the great theological thinkers of our time, he says, I am to love God enough to be contented. I'm to love men enough not to envy.
Mm. Hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it just mm-hmm. that he just brilliant in that. And I think part of it is when you start to feel envy, start to pray for the success of that other person. You start to pray for, you know, God's blessing on them, not his curses mm-hmm. on them. And I think it starts to change your heart in that and for you to be even able to see clearly and be content in the things that you have around yeah. you. If you can't do that.
That's what I was going to say. Kind of the secret antidote to envy is finding that contentment. We know that like you can look around and always see people that have more or better off than we are, but you can also look at the other way and see how fortunate and blessed you are in certain ways too. And Philippians chapter 4 talks about that. I rejoice in the Lord greatly now at length with you and have received your concern for me. You are indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. And when Paul's talking about that, like it's not contentment because he's in prison and he's getting, you know, his three scraps of bread and his water that he's getting those needs met. He's talking about his contentment with where he's at with Jesus.
Yeah. And what God, he's writing letters, like he's changing the world from yeah. there. And I think that's part of, we don't always understand, even the little we have, if we give that to Jesus. You know, there's a story of the disciples are out. There's 12, you know, the 12 disciples are hanging out with Jesus. There's 5,000 dudes hanging out. They all get hungry because they're listening to the teachings of Jesus. Jesus says, hey, man, we need to feed these dudes. And there are also women and children there. So there's probably 10,000 people there. And they're like, you know, it'd take like so much, like a couple years wages to feed these. What are we supposed to do? Should we just send them home? He goes, no, just go out and see what people have. And there's a little boy there. He's got some fish and some bread. His mama probably packed it for him. And he goes, here you go. And he gives it to him. And Jesus gives thanks to the Father. And he begins to break it. And it feeds everybody there. And there's 12 baskets left over. I've often thought about that story. I'm like, oh, that's really neat. 12. Well, why is there 12? Because those dudes didn't believe. Those disciples didn't believe. And he goes, look, my bounty's that big. I can use whatever it is. I can use the little that you have to do an incredible thing. And so stop comparing and start believing. That's good news. You can use.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. We hope you enjoyed the latest Pearls and Swine episode. If you want to catch previous episodes or even tune into some of our other things, you can see those on evangelup.org on our website. You can search us out, Evangel Houghton, on your podcast device and listen to us there. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll catch you later.